Talking today with Dr. Brett Carver, of course, from Oklahoma State University. Brett, as we look back over, first of all, the end of the 2011 harvest season and what you saw from the various plots that you had, both your experimentals as well as some of your newer varieties that were just now coming online. Give me kind of an overview of what you saw from the ones that you've helped put out from your OSU.
Well, obviously, it was a very rough year, and there were times when I thought, boy, I don't know if we're going to make this. I thought we were going to lose material and not have any data to come out with. Surprisingly, and I'm sure a lot of growers would say the same thing, is we actually got some good data and got some good information from the past year. And it's, I don't think it was such an unusual year that we won't benefit from that down the road. I think we learned a lot about drought tolerance. I'm not exactly sure how to interpret all that information just yet, but I think we have we had some input. We had an imprint. I always talk about this, an imprint on our program that will last for generations, breeding generations to come. That imprint is drought tolerance. We haven't had that kind of pressure in many years, unfortunately, for some of our growers.
So did you see some differences between some of the ones that you've been working on?
Oh, most definitely. The ones that I thought had a pretty good level of drought tolerance based on past year performance, they really did shine. So it verified what I was thinking and what I was seeing in past years. It also exposed some weaknesses in our program that I thought, okay, we need to maybe put some brakes on some of this material, maybe not push it along as fast as we wanted to. Maybe it has some good disease resistance, but its poor performance under drought will make me think twice about carrying that forward.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are in the pipeline right now. What do you have out there that's moving along?
Yeah, we've got quite a few things. It's difficult to sort it all out, and I'll talk about that today at our wheat review. But anything that has a duster in the parentage continues to shine, and we were seeing that already before last year under not such high drought conditions. But I was pleased to see that these same lines that had the disease resistance that we were counting on from duster showed some pretty good drought tolerance. Today I will talk about two particular progenies from duster. They have dusters, one common parent, but very different parentage on the other side that provide very good complementarity in our candidates that we will probably go with a release proposal in the next 6 months. So you will hear more about duster, the next generation.
Tell me a little bit, you know, reflect with me about duster for just a moment. This seems to be like maybe not a superstar, but darn close.
It is. It surprised me, that's for sure. I knew that we had promise in it when we looked at it as an experimental line in 2005 and 2006. Those years, 2005, we had a lot of stripe rust. Duster did pretty well, even though I would not call it immune to that disease. 2006 was a drought year. We had a lot of drought stress that year, and it did well that year. And so we knew we had those components. It also has some of the best expression of barley yellow dwarf tolerance, and that's a very common disease to Oklahoma. It doesn't wipe our yields out, but it sure can nibble at yields, and that gives us some good protection there. The leaf rust resistance, I continue to be amazed at that. I'm learning from other people who have used and researched with duster that the genetic explanation of that leaf rust resistance is pretty complex. Whether or not we can repeat that in the next generation of duster derivatives, I don't know. It would be nice to have some of those magical molecular markers to use. We don't have them all yet. We're working on those. But because of that technology, I think we're going to see more and more of the duster line coming out.
Tell me a little bit about a couple of these newer varieties that have been, you know, released or be in the process of being released, the Ruby Lee and a couple of the others.
Yes, and those are not out of the duster mold. Very different genetics there. Ruby Lee actually has endurance as one half of its parentage. As far as height, after that, there's not a whole lot of similarity between Ruby Lee and endurance. In fact, Ruby Lee is a much earlier maturing variety, has about the same level of protection of stripe rust as endurance, which isn't very much, but it's not a washout, but very, very good quality and milling quality included with that as far as seed size and test weight and those kinds of characteristics. Ruby Lee gives us that chance to reach a certain yield level if conditions are better than they were last year. that we haven't had before. And that's what makes me excited, because, you know, we always talk about pushing that yield ceiling up. This one will push the yield ceiling. I don't have any doubts about that, but we won't see that ceiling in a year like last year. Going to have to have some moisture. Garrison, very different variety. It's a little bit like Endurance as far as its maturity pattern. It's on the late side, so we compare it a lot to Endurance. It doesn't have Endurance as a parent, but it provides, and this is why we named it Garrison, a good level of protection to a lot of things. It seems to avoid those freezes that we had, remember, back in 2007 and 2009. Handled those freezes quite well and yielded well under those conditions. Has good levels of protection to stripe rust, acid soils, diseases in general, tan spot, septoria, pretty good in Garrison. Scab resistance even. We haven't had that kind of protection to scab in any releases from Oklahoma State that I know of. We've reached a certain level there with Garrison. We can do better, but that gives us a good start. So Garrison is a good protector of yield. Ruby Lee allows us to reach a new level of yield.
Well, the question, I know that we've had some talk, obviously, with these hot, dry conditions. Some folks are still itching to be able to try to plant a little early to get some wheat pasture. Have you seen any differences between some of your varieties regarding dealing with some of these higher soil temperatures?
Oh, certainly. Back in the day of 2174, and we were using 2174 quite a bit as breeding stock, we were having to deal with the issue of sensitivity to high temperature. It just would get very slow, sluggish germination under hot soil conditions. We tried to select away from that characteristic, and we do. I think we do pretty well at that by planting early. Many of our nurseries are planted early, and maybe a little bit too early than what we would recommend for most growers. But again, we're trying to get that stress level up so we can make those selections and be prudent about it. But I think we're getting away from the germination sensitivity as we move farther and farther away from that 2174 base. Duster has no problem with it. So anything that we have duster as far as a primary parent, we're not seeing that as a problem, generally speaking.
So duster really won't have a problem as far as that soil temperature issue if it stays up pretty high for a while.
That's one of the reasons we call it duster. It just seems to germinate well under pretty tough conditions, like we'll probably see this fall.